Well, good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hi, Rob. This is Mark.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Hey, Rob and Mark. Will Cuse and Don.
Hey, Will. How are you? Welcome back.
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Ben Algie is here as well. Touchstone.
Hey, Ben. How are you?
Great, Rob. How you doing?
Good. Okay. So before we get started, Mark, what's on your mind?
All right. So actually, Cheryl will be joining us in a few minutes. So a few questions came up. First of all, how in your experience, Rob, how do you handle clients that definitely fit my minimum? You know, they're fee-based clients, very good clients. But they're out of state. I mean, they're a plane ride away. You know, they're Chicago, a couple in California, that kind of thing where I can go visit them once in a while, but I'm not going to have, you know, two meetings with them a year and that kind of thing, or two face-to-face meetings, things like that. Do they still fit the model or, you know?
Well, remember, one of the criteria we determine is profitability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when you say they meet your minimum, how much money do they have and how much do they pay you?
A lot. Both the answers, a lot. You know, so, I mean, I guess I can come to my own conclusion that they do qualify for being on the Supernova program. I mean, they're part of my top 10 clients for sure. Like three of them are a while away from us, but they create a lot of revenues.
So it's just an economic decision. If they pay you $70,000 in commissions, you can see them twice a year.
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
You see what I mean? So one of the things that we do with Supernova is we shine a light on our business, and we examine our profitability, and we determine where is our time going.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to spend the same amount of time with each client. We want to spend. Remember, Supernova 1242 is the minimum. It's not the maximum.
Oh. Okay.
So if you're a client, you get two personal visits a year. Now, when they come to see you, that counts. If you go to see them, that counts. My other question always is, if you had another client like them in Chicago, would that make the trip worthwhile?
You mean like two clients in Chicago? Is that what you're saying?
Or five clients in Chicago?
Oh, I see. Then sure. Then I think that they're referral sources too, potentially, and they have been. So what you're saying is, Rob, maybe going forward, I make the effort to go visit those people more than once every few years. I try and, you know, do a little more concerted effort to sit down with them and do what I would normally do with clients here.
Yeah, I mean, you can hear yourself talking yourself into making a good decision, right? These things are very strange how our mind works. Keep in mind, first of all human beings are lazy, okay?
Yeah.
We're all pleasure seekers. We want to get the maximum for the minimum. People that are successful have figured out that if they defer that satisfaction, they don't sit on the couch or sleep late, they can be more successful in life. So they make a concerted effort to drag themselves out of bed and go to work and do work. Okay, and then they get paid back for that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And therefore they're more successful than the guy that sleeps late. Okay? What we want to say to ourselves is everything that we're doing is something that we frankly would prefer not to do. Mm-hmm. And that makes it unique among human species, meaning other financial advisors aren't going to do it.
Right. That makes sense. Makes sense.
So what we're trying to do is constantly differentiate ourselves in the market.
Okay. Okay.
And by going twice a year to see your clients, mm-hmm. you'll be unique in the whole world.
Hmm. Well, the minimum once a year, but ideally twice a year, I'd say. Ideally twice a year, yeah.
They come to see you, that's once, but if you go to see them, then that's twice.
Okay. Right, that's good.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, and your purpose in going there is not to keep them as a client. It's to gain someone that looks just like they do.
I know, that's ideal, yes. Yes.
It's more than ideal. It's more than ideal. That's your purpose.
Okay, all right.
So you say, how many times would I go to Chicago if I could get a client each time that looked like them?
Right. Okay.
How many times would you go?
Often. very often. Every month, probably?
Right.
Okay. All right. All right. That's helpful, Rob. I appreciate that, actually. That puts things in perspective. The other questions I had, hang on a second. Oh, here's how my client book breaks down. Because I have some heavily... all right, let me take a step back. I spent last week, and Cheryl's doing it for me today, actually. We're reassigning some very small clients to the call center or to, like, other FAs in the branch here. That people I don't talk to, they don't do any business, and they're just, it's kind of dead weight, okay? So that's a first step. Now, when I do that, I am going to have probably 80 clients, or 80 or 85 clients that at least have a few $100,000. So it's not a situation, Rob, in our practice where I have 400 clients and I need to get rid of a ton to get it down to that 100. I'm sort of already there. But these people have 250 up to, you know, many millions of dollars. So I broke down my book, so you know, and I'm kind of... I guess with me, there's not a whole lot of re-signing to do. I think this is going to be, over time, you know, gain one, lose one, gain one, lose one, gain one, lose one. Is that how you see with my practice at this point?
Well, tell me about, give me the numbers, and then we'll discuss it.
Okay. So I have called 80 clients, all over 250 or more. I'm top heavy. So the top, I wrote this down, hang on a second. My top 11 clients generate $400,000 in annual commissions.
And what percentage is that?
35% of my book generates 40% of my production.
Okay.
I thought that would be useful for you because I know this is the 80-20 rule, but it kind of doesn't apply to me only because I'm top heavy. You know what I mean?
Okay, keep going.
Okay. Let's see. Well, the other thing is that top six clients are 26% of my assets. So when we're trying to figure out a target minimum. I mean, it comes to like $4.5 million, which right now is not realistic for me to hunt for. I mean, I'm going to hunt for it, but it's not going to be my main focus. My account minimum is about $1 million right now.
Okay. Did you do the math on the top 20% of your practice?
To see what that generates, you mean? Like in...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, top 20%, hold on a second, 3, 7, 5, I mean, that's only like top, let me make a note here, 20%. So 3, 7, 15, 19. That's only like 4 clients. And I can tell you if you want to hang on. I mean, do you want to know what those four clients?
Let's use the number. So 8 times 2 is 16. Take the top 16 clients and give me the average of those 16 clients.
Oh, average assets?
Average production, average assets.
All right. So I'll have to figure that out, Rob, because I have the top I have the top 11 clients, you know, which, again, comes up to what did I say for assets? 34.9. 35 million in assets. Top 11 clients. I just have to add another 5. That's going to take me a little time because I've got to go through the spreadsheet and stuff.
Well, we can ballpark it, right?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I would say it's probably 50% of my book, the top 16 clients, probably, knowing that 35% is 11 clients, you know. So probably 50% of my revenue, I'm guessing, and I'll do this after the call, comes from 16 clients, or 16, you know, yeah, 16 clients.
Okay, and so that would generate in what would, if you took the assets that they have,
yeah,
and divided it by 2.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Probably like 25. So just call it 50 million. Probably 50 million in assets, I would say. Top 16.
Yeah, 50 million, I'm sorry, and divide it by 16. And that gives you your average assets of your top 20% of your practice.
Okay. So, and I'll redo this, but I think it's probably close. So 16, so it's like 3 million.
Okay. So your absolute minimum is 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Your target minimum is 3 million.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
That's really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because over time, I mean, over time, what's going to happen is, if I understand this correctly, I'm going to start getting rid of smaller accounts, which will start to increase my target minimum, right?
Oh, yeah. It increases your average minimum or your absolute minimum, and it increases your target minimum.
Okay. Right.
But here's the most important thing. Whatever you focus on is what you get.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So we're not gonna focus on $1 million clients. We're gonna focus on $3 million clients.
In terms of going out and getting new assets, is that what you're saying?
That's affirmative, yes.
Okay. And when clients say to me, this is part of a little larger conversation they had a question on, but if I'm talking to existing clients and we say we want to meet people, we would like to have meaningful introductions of people just like you, and they've got $1 million with us.
Then you wouldn't say that, right? You wouldn't say that.
Right.
What you would say is, we're interested in meeting people that are like you,
mm-hmm.
that meet our minimum of $3 million in investable assets.
Okay. So people in the $1 million range, I'm guessing, would, you know, some will, some won't, but some will be friendly with those kinds of people or be around those kinds of people.
Everybody's around those kinds of people.
Okay. In those circles.
Not everybody, but everybody that you're dealing with.
Right,
yeah, people with $1 million, unless they're, you know, part of a, you know, they hang around with, I mean, if it's a rollover and that's it, They just got it. They're done. That's it. Then their average friends would probably have a million.
Right.
But if they're, if you know, that's why we want to focus on niches,
uh-huh.
where the average person in the niche has $3 million or $5 million or $10
million. Okay. And I know that's a purpose of, one of the purposes of the call today, too, to talk about that. Okay. So let me just, so this is farther than I thought. All right. So, you know, looking for new clients. I'm just writing this down. New clients with, you know, say $3 million or whatever my, whatever my top 20, average of my top 20 clients are, right?
Right.
Okay, average.
Now, how does that make you feel?
It's a little bit intimidating because I do have a few clients I know that walk around in those circles, but most of my clients, as I mentioned to you, are retirees or they're close to retired. They're not big business owners. They're not, you know, CEOs and that kind of thing. So they're still out there. I'm sure they're still out there, but probably not as many as I'd like. But anyways, you know.
But here's the point. You didn't hire me to go get clients that you already know how to get.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Right.
Right. So you hired me to go get clients that are bigger than the clients that you've gotten in the past. But
mm-hmm.
you've gotten big clients. You've gotten big clients, so it's not like you haven't done it.
Right. No, I agree. I agree.
Okay. Yeah. We just want to get more of them. So we're probably never going to get have more than 80 total clients.
Right.
But instead of 3 million, eventually it'll be 30 million.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, I get it. This makes sense to me. Let me just look at something, Rob. I had one other question for you before we... in your experience, Rob, and I was going to talk to Cindy about this too, but I'm sure it's better to have clients show up here face-to-face and hand them the new, you know, the red folder and go through the whole process with them when they're here. But is it still okay to have the full conversation with a client on the phone? They're on board. They agree to the new Supernova process. And we follow up with a cover letter that I think Cindy or Lori sent to me with a folder attached to it as well.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, good. I was hoping that was your answer because there's a lot of clients, obviously, to contact. And I want to get this going sooner than later, but
right.
It's the right man. You know, okay, so it's
indicated.
That's right. All right, that's fine. Okay, let me make a note.
Yeah, I mean, in person is obviously better. Now, I have a client that I just, you're going to find this amazing. I have a client that I just got off the phone with earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And they, they're amazing in the sense that when they get a new client, they go through every page of the workbook. Of the folder, and
yeah.
explain to them what every single page means.
Mhm. Mhm.
Why it's there, how it's going to be useful, etc. Now, maybe everybody does that, but no one has told me that they do it that way.
Okay.
Now, they just won a $30 million client. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So they had to get on the plane, and they competed with a guy from their own firm. They won the business. They
mm-hmm.
they competed with three or four other people,
mm-hmm.
and they're convinced the reason they won was because they gave them the folder, went through it page by page. And even told them what time their appointment would be.
Mm-hmm.
Gave them the sample agenda and showed them exactly how they would work together.
Yeah, and that was enough to...
They're convinced that the folder made the difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's not that's not the first time that I've heard that on really big. Another one was a $60 million client.
I think you talked about this.
I did. I talked about that in the book.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Ken Shapiro. It was a Ken Shapiro story.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, here's the deal. What Supernova will do for you is give you the confidence that you can win those cases, and then it gives you the tools to win them, and it has nothing to do with performance.
Right, that's key, yeah. And let me ask you, just because now I noticed in the chapter book, the guide, the advisor coaching guide, Rob, the folders section isn't until the very end, I believe. But if I'm going to start making calls as early as this week, I want to start talking to some select clients about the process. I want to follow up with a folder if they're not coming in. We have the folders. We have all the stuff. We're just wondering how to put the folders together. You know,
you can start building the folders now. You need two hole punch, and you need to just start putting them together.
Okay. And is the instructions in the back of the book, basically the different sections or whatever? Okay.
Right.
All right. So we'll go through that.
What goes in the folder?
Right. And if you have questions, Cindy can go through it. And, the guys, these wonderful guys from Touchstone can help you. And, you know, there's lots of opportunities for help.
Fine. All right. I think that was my question. Let me see if I had anything else here. Let's see. All right. Questions. Hang on a second. All right, let's go. All right, so let's go into the. Hang on a second. Refer clients, out of state clients, family. Oh, Rob, let's say I have a $2 million client that's clearly going to be on the Supernova program, and they refer to me a $500,000 client that I've been working with for years. I mean, eventually, when I start reassigning these larger, well, I'll call them larger, but these, you know, $2, $3, $4, $500,000 clients. Is there a way to handle that? Because I'm keeping the referral source, and they may be good friends or even family members, but I don't want to, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, offend anyone in this process.
Right.
You know?
Well, you're never turning somebody down. You're just assigning them to the proper person.
Well, that would be... I think in the book or somewhere you had mentioned that, you know, ideally it'd be great to have an FA in the office that knows the Supernova process and takes the smaller accounts, but we're not going to have anyone like that for now. So just assign them to the right FA in the branch, is that what you're saying? Because they don't fit the model anymore?
That's right.
Okay. I just hope it's not a slippery slope with existing clients, you know, if it's their brother-in-law or something like that and I'm not working with them anymore. I'm just wondering how that's going to be handled, you know? How it's going to be received.
Hey, it's up to you. If you think, remember, the rule of common sense trumps all other rules.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, you know what, I'm going to do this guy a favor and take this guy, that's fine. But you can't make that then you have no minimum, see, if you keep doing it.
Right, that's true. They know that.
Right. They've got to know that your target minimum is $3 million. You'll take clients up to $1 million. I mean, you know, down to $1 million, but you can't afford to get so that you can't get, you got to go to Chicago. Okay.
Right.
Okay. And if you're dealing with $500,000 clients, you can't get that $20 million client.
No, that's true. All right. I'm just taking some notes.
Hey, Rob, would this $500,000 client like that, would that fall under the rule of butlers, though, if it was for a pretty large client?
If it was the child of a big client, of course. But if it's not a child and it's not any other relationship, it's just a random referral and they don't meet your minimum, then you got two choices. You're assigned it to, you got multiple choices, but let's say that you can't afford the time to take care of that client effectively, or you don't want to. You want lifestyle, you know. The guy this morning wanted to go to the track and drive his car. Well, he can't do that if he has too many clients. So you make the decision that this is the maximum number of clients that I can serve.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, for every butler you take on, that takes, for every three butlers, that takes the place of one client.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you're making a business decision here. And there is only so much time in the day. So a $500,000 client is going to be a gold mine for one of your associates.
Right.
And he or she will thank you for the rest of their life for that client. Now, you could split with them. I don't recommend it, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you can do is you can hire them, and they can become a teammate.
Right.
And then you can give them the clients, but that is more expensive, costs you time and energy and money to support them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, the time to have a team is, although I recommend teaming, I also recommend that the team have the same minimum. Your teammates would have a $1 million minimum and a $3 million target, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no easy answer to this, and that's why the majority of financial advisors can never get off their plateau because they can't mentally do this.
So with that comment, Rob, let me ask you this. Last question I have is, since I have these 80 clients I started the conversation out with, okay, you know, I do have clients 250, 350, 450, up to a number of millions of dollars per household. But I only have 80 clients if I take all those into account. So my question is, do I keep those smaller clients, say $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 now, Rob, keep them on the books, get them going with Supernova, but, you know, I guess that's my question, you know, because otherwise I'm going to get down to 70, 60, 50 clients, but yes, I'm going to be adding more, but they are still generating incredible revenue for now. I don't have 400 clients, you know?
I know.
Okay.
So will you use the time that they provide to good enough use that will make up for their revenues?
Say it one more. I want to make sure I hear you there. Say it one more time.
Will you use – each client takes about – with Supernova takes a minimum of 6 hours. You do financial planning, it takes closer to 20 hours.
Yep.
Will you use that 20 hours per client or 6 or 10 hours to good enough use that you can afford to let them go?
In other words, in good enough use, like will they be productive enough for my business, basically, in one way or the other? Is that what
you're
asking?
Not will they be productive enough, will you be productive enough?
I see. Okay. Because by not having some of those clients, it does free up time to prospect or spend other time doing other more productive things. Is that what you're saying?
You're betting on yourself.
Right. Okay. All right. So I've got to make a decision.
That's your decision to make the bet.
Okay, I gotcha.
All right,
okay.
So for me, you know, intuitively, I would look at them. I put them through my screen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, look at them profitability, look at the revenues, look at their relationship with others, look to see if they're a center of influence. Remember, there's 11 screens, right?
Yeah, I have to find that somewhere.
Yeah, well, there's nine in the book, and there's 11. I mean, in the book, there's 11. George Kemp used 11. There's nine in the workbook.
All right.
The idea is that it's not just revenues and assets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what, you know, sometimes they don't pay us at all. Sometimes they don't, they're not nice people. Sometimes they're great people. Sometimes they refer lots of people to us. Well, all of a sudden, if they refer people with $3 million, they become a center of influence and a valuable $3 million client. So I'll keep somebody that's the mayor of the town that only makes $100,000 because he refers everybody to me.
I have a client like that, yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay. So remember, the rule of common sense trumps all other rules. It's a retiree. It's a retiree with $250,000 that you never call, and has been reassigned to you by the firm or something. Then, obviously, reassign them.
Okay. 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 Good. Makes sense. As far as the chapter, you know, the most recent chapter. Hang on one second. Let me take some notes here. Oh. Regarding the Regarding the natural niches and the target niches.
Yes.
The natural niche, Rob. I live in Marblehead, Massachusetts. It's a somewhat wealthy community. There's some very wealthy people there. Can that be? I've lived there for 20 years. It's not where I was born. Can that be a natural niche where I find some things I'm interested in? In Marblehead, you know, where some of the criteria is met for what I would enjoy, plus there's potentially some business there. Am I saying that right?
Okay. Keep in mind, I'm from Hingham, so I know Marblehead.
Oh, okay. All right, so there you go. There you go. Okay. That's right. I
okay.
That
so a niche is, we want to take niches and we want to break them down into as small a category as we can, just like a surgeon, you know, a doctor becomes a surgeon becomes a brain surgeon becomes a pediatric brain surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that gets paid the most is a pediatric brain surgeon because he's such a specialist.
Okay.
All right. So you want to take Marblehead and break it down into niches inside Marblehead that would, where you have, you speak the same language as those people. Marblehead's too big. Is too big. You know, just what, 20 or 30,000 people in Marblehead?
20,000,
so, yeah. So you need to say, you know, what is it? And how do you affiliate with them? So give me your affiliations with people in Marblehead. What do you have in common? Place, you know, it's work related, socialization, athletics, children, church. What, how do you associate with them?
So one association, really, I can't think of too much more in this. We're pretty well. We're somewhat involved in our temple, our local temple. Pretty decent sized Jewish community. And my wife's on the board. I'm not on the board, but there's definitely some wealth there. I mean, there's definitely people that I enjoy, and there's people that have money.
Maybe a start for you.
Yeah, maybe. You know, it's not the most exciting thing in the world. I've done this before at a different place, and I started to get business from it. Then we changed temples, but you know, it's not something I like really look forward to. But it's a start for me, I guess. You know, that's one place.
Did you say your wife is on the board?
She is. Yeah, she's on the board. They meet once a month, and she has a... Yeah.
Okay, so she's your extension.
Right.
You don't need to do that. She's doing it.
Right. Right. Yeah. Meaning what, though, Rob? Like...
Well, here's one of the things. If you read the chapter on social interaction and becoming involved in boards and things, how do you move that from doing the activity to building relationships? It's her responsibility to build relationships with the people on the board to the point where you do other things with them and you get to know them and become friends with them.
Oh, I see. I see. I think the only issue with that is when her term is up in 6 months or whatever, she doesn't want anything to do with it anymore. She's just, unfortunately, she's not into it. She just doesn't even love half the, but that's beside the point. I think it's going to eventually get back to me, you know, and making those connections and stuff. That's one possibility I see. But I'd like to consider something else locally that I have an interest in, you know?
Okay, what else?
I don't know. Honestly, I have to find out. I have to find out what kind of things would interest me. I have to look into it in the town. I do know a fair amount of people. What's that?
What charities are you involved in? What sports are you involved in? What do you do with your free time, et cetera?
I'm not involved. I'm really, a number of years went by. I used to be much more involved. I'm not anymore. I'm not really involved in any charities. I often did think, my younger daughter is a type 1 diabetic. She's only 17. And I have thought that I'd like to get involved in that kind of charity work. I don't know what's available on the North Shore. I don't know who attends those, but that's something I'm kind of interested in doing. You know?
Yep.
So that's one. And I just have to look into it, Rob, to be honest with you. I have to look into it. So I talk to some people, you know?
Okay, so there's lots of different niches, as you know. And there's also business niches, right? Niches of companies in your community that have been successful.
Right.
So it sounds like we've kind of got a so I want you to listen, get the Supernova Multiplier. You have it on audio?
Yes.
All right, I want you to listen to the two chapters. One is Centers of Influence, Niches, and then I want you to go to Social Networking, Community Involvement, which would be, I recommend that you be on two boards, one charitable and one that would be the arts. Okay?
Oh, that's okay.
Symphony, you know, so forth.
Okay.
So listen to those, you know, once a day for 5 days. Okay, now, we don't have much time because, you know, we're going to be talking and, like, it feels like 2 minutes. We're going to be talking again, right?
Right,
but
right.
The more I can educate you on those things, the less time we have to spend on me educating you on this call and the more time I can spend on helping you reach your goals.
Okay, that's fine. I'll listen to that over. That's fine.
Yeah, because there's, look, you know, my dad was a type 1 diabetic. You have the Joslin Clinic in Boston. There's lots of opportunity. It's a center, right, of research and development for diabetes. And there's so much going on. And there's so much research and development in your area that, you know, this could be a great opportunity to educate yourself and to be helped. You know, interestingly enough, you know, I moved to Indianapolis where Eli Lilly is. And of course, they were the ones that they didn't develop insulin or discover insulin, but they marketed insulin for the people in Canada that discovered it.
Uh-huh.
And so the history of diabetes is a really interesting history. So, you know, that's one of the things that you should do is to read the history of diabetes and how it, you know, what was it like before and now and in the future. So you become an expert on diabetes, then get involved, get on boards, and actually help. You know, you can help raise money. And, you know,
right. So you're saying, so that would be an area, Rob, that you think.
That could be your target charity.
Okay.
Because you have a passion for it, right? You know, your daughter's alive and doing well because of research, because people cared enough to discover the answer to diabetes. So people live full lives now.
And let me ask you, in terms of just coaching me, you know, I don't know what they have. I'm going to look into it. They might have a North Shore part of it. They obviously have a Boston part of it. You know, from a business standpoint, would
right.
it make...
You want to, yeah, just see what's around.
Okay.
You
All
do
right.
your homework.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll
you do your homework.
All right. That sounds
you
good.
Should know, I mean, there's probably a either a North Shore or a Marblehead version of a magazine that will give you the top charities in your market in terms of volume, you know, in terms of assets under management or distribution of whatever.
All right. I can find that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And then the arts would be something.
Yeah. Indianapolis Business Journal published that every year, a list of private companies, charities, all kinds of things, a wealth of information for becoming comfortable and knowledgeable about your community. Obviously, as a manager, I had to know everything about my community, right?
Right.
And
right.
where was all the money and where was it going? And so it's there's lots and lots of opportunity, but you you know, this is good. I mean, here's another exercise for you that I'd like you to do is go through your top 30 clients and tell me where they came from.
Where they came from. Okay. You mean in terms of where they came from, like their background or my... How I got them, where they came from. You mean
how you got them?
Okay, all right. Top 30 clients and how I got them. Okay.
Right. And so we want to see if there's anybody that have a common theme behind how you got them.
Okay.
Meaning they're all referred to you by a banker, or they all were referred by a CPA, or
you know what, I think we used to cold call. I think it's a combination.
If it's all cold calling, what do they have in common then? If you you didn't cold call just random people, what were they? What list did you call from? Was it, you know, business owners? Was it, you know, what was it that you started with? So you got to just give me more information about your practice.
All right. I will tell you one thing. I know we're probably pushing for time, but I will tell you that most of my clients, probably 75% anyways, Rob, are retirees that worked for a number of years, had large rollovers, that kind of thing. That's
from where?
What company did
they come from?
Oh, a whole variety of different companies. I'd have to look into, you know, a lot of different companies. Airlines, GE, a lot of different ones, you know.
Okay, so put down where they came from.
Okay.
That's what
right.
I'm interested in. How many came from GE? How many came from the airline? How many came, was there anybody in particular that was referring to you from GE? Are they still around? Okay. That becomes a niche, right? Maybe a dead niche now, may not exist now, but at one time it was a niche.
Okay. All right, I'll work on that. It sounds good.
You see where we're going with that, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We also have a lot of wealthy divorced or widowed women on the books, too. You know, like Donna Gannon. Like, we have a lot of those people, too, Rob. Like, very good clients. They're divorced or they're widowed or, you know, whatever. And listen to us.
That's a very good niche, and it's one that, you know, you want to see where they came from. Were they referred to you by a family attorney, one that specializes in divorce? And
okay.
then we can we can then specialize in that and become certified to handle those people.
Okay, good.
There's a lot of things you can do once we determine what it is that you enjoy. Now, don't do things you don't enjoy, okay?
Yeah. So, I hear you.
Yeah, because you're not going to do it. You're going to hate it. Your wife should not do the temple if she hates it. Cause
right. Okay.
So we want to do things that we like, so we keep doing them.
Okay. All right. I'm making some notes here. That makes sense to me.
But keep in mind, when we finally identify what niches we want to go after, the people in the niche, people in the niche have to meet our minimum. Okay.
Okay. Fine. All right. Good.
All right. Good.
Very good, Rob. All right.
Good talking to you, buddy. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Take care. All right. Bye-bye again. Thanks. Bye-bye.